Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you have your Bible with you, you can go ahead and grab that. Amen. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. God, that it would open us up and that we would have spiritual ears to hear. God, that we would have spiritual eyes to see, and that this word would affect our lives going forth from this day on. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Turn to your neighbor and say, get ready.
Get ready.
Because we're on an adventure. Hallelujah.
All right,
now. Hallelujah. Well, so, got to give you a backstory. If you came looking for Gideon, second part, we might get there. But we might not. Why, Pastor? Because about 2 o'clock in the morning, that verse, those two verses, just came before me, and I literally had a discussion with God. He gives me this verse, and I thought, so I said, God, you know I'm talking about Gideon. Crickets. Now, if you've ever had a conversation with God and he doesn't answer you back, I said, well, God, you know, I only got part of Gideon's story in. And isn't that what we're talking about? Is Gideon and an Old Testament man of faith, Gideon? That's what we're going to talk about, right, God? Crickets. And I really could not sleep well all night long for this verse. And I felt like what the Lord was saying to us as Westchester Family Church is, there's some things that we need to do, that we need to believe, that we need to act on to prepare us for everything he has for us going forth. I remember at the beginning of the year, God put in my heart that we were to be the church, and that as we are the church, that the building will come. Because a building is not the church. It's the people. It's the people. You are a container of God's goodness. But there are some hindrances that get in our way. There are things that weigh us down. And if we're going to come alive in 25, if we're going to be that light, that force, where we are, we've got to listen close and act quickly. We've got to listen close and act quickly. So Jesus tells us to come unto him. And I know that so many of us carry burdens that we ought not to be carrying. We're so heavy laden. Anybody in here ever gone and bought some Poland Springs or some spring water or bottled water at the store in a 24-pack? You ever bought those before? Anybody in here? You ever have to heft those up the stairs? The 24-pack? What is it? Or the 32? Yeah. Did you know that the 24-pack weighs like, I want to say it weighs like 30 pounds. As a gallon of water weighs 8 pounds, around 8 pounds. Okay. And so I kind of got this picture as I was wrestling a little bit with God and having this moment with God, saying, "But God, I'm ready to go with Judges chapter 7. Come on, God, we're going to talk about Gideon. I'm excited about Gideon and learning some lessons about Gideon, Lord." And the Lord was like, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." So, in the Greek language, the word rest there has to do with Shabbat. It's ceasing from all activity. It is quieting yourself. As the psalmist writes and says, "Be still and know that I am God." So whatever it is that you are walking through life with right now, that burden that has weighed you down, that's like trying to carry 3 or 4 of those 24 packs of water up the stairs, and you're just out of breath and just, you know, "I made it," you know? I don't think God wants us as Westchester Family Church or as believers, New Testament believers, to get to heaven and "I made it." Do you? I believe there is a better way. It's God's way. Turn to your neighbor and say, "There's a better way." Now, 1 Peter 5 talked about, and we shared that right before communion, that we've got to cast the whole of our care on Him, because we carry these burdens, we carry these things with us, and they hinder us. They hinder us. They hinder our walk. They hinder our talk. If you've ever talked to somebody who's been carrying a big load, right, and after they can barely catch their breath. Right? And I'm not just talking about those of us that are over 30. I'm talking about the young ones. They get tired too. Colin likes to say they have muscles to waste. But if you'll notice, they'll get tired too. You work them out long enough. I remember my little league coach, he was brutal. And I was not much of an athlete, but he was brutal. And if he didn't like the way you were playing at practice or the way you played at the game, when you showed up to practice, it was nothing but sprints until you were about ready to pass out. And he'd make you do sprints in the Florida heat with humidity of about 185. That's how it felt. There's no such thing as that. But with the humidity and everything else in the hot sun, you know, you'd just be running back and forth. And you're like, and he's like, "Keep going." He's like, "Oh, man." What was he doing? He's pushing you. And we weren't even carrying anything. And yet believers carry things they ought not to be carrying.
Hallelujah. That's good.
See, believers are carrying things like guilt. Shame, inferiority, "I'm not good enough, never will be." Now, where this does connect to Gideon is last week we talked about how Gideon didn't think he was enough. His answer to God was, "But I'm the least. Have you ever caught yourself saying, "I'm not enough"? Have you ever caught yourself saying that? That's a burden that you're walking around with that's hindering you. That's a burden that's stopping you from God's best. God's best is that we roll those cares off on Him. What about the habits or the secret things that we hold on to? The things that nobody else but God knows about, right? Or the unforgiveness that we hold on to, or the jealousy. The things that we hold on to that Jesus took care of on the cross. And the very one who can help you with any one of those things. Not just the things that are easy to talk about. You know, it's easy to talk about things like, well, you know, I don't feel so good about myself. That's easy to talk about. But what about the deeper things? The unforgiveness, the pride, the habit, the secret thing, the things like that. Those are harder to deal with because we don't want to face those things. So what do? Instead of going to the very one who could help us, who could take that burden from us and cause us to walk upright, cause us to walk a little bit different, to have our step have a little bit more of a bounce in it, to look people in the eye and to know that God is your source of strength, that God is your all, that because of what Jesus did on the cross, there is no guilt or shame. There is no inferiority. He wiped clean my sin. As far as the east is from the west, and that's in a straight line, they never meet. You say, well, on a globe they do, Pastor. God wasn't talking about a globe. He was talking about direction. As far as the east is from the west, they never meet. So your sin, my sin, the things that hinder us when we lay them at the foot of the cross, they're taken care of. They're under the blood. They're under the blood. Now the enemy, he likes to whisper in your ear. And you've heard me say this. I've said this many, many times from this pulpit. I've said that the enemy, one of his favorite phrases is, and you call yourself a Christian. He'll even use people to say it out loud. He'll use real people. All they are is puppets at that point. Make sure. Yeah, that's good. Make sure you're not one. That you don't say that. Because what we carry around, God says, I want it. Give it to me. Give it to me. You know, one of the pillars of this church is that we know God.
Amen.
That we know Him.
That's right.
When you come to know Him in an intimate way, you realize how much He loves you. How much He cares for you. And instead of running away from God, you run to Him. Because He's the one who can fix it. So if you've got that burden that has weighed you down, and it could have been a myriad of one of the things that I mentioned, could have been things that I didn't mention, and you're weighed down, you're bogged down, and it's just hindering your walk with God, and you feel like God is 1,000 miles away. It doesn't take but just a moment to roll that care off on Jesus. To say, here you go, Lord. I can't do it anymore. Second point of our church is that you'd find freedom. What are you finding freedom from? Whatever binds you. Because the word tells us, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So in preparation, if you're planning on coming Wednesday night, I'm urging you as pastor, come and let's experience God together.
Hallelujah, yes.
I had a chance last summer to be in the car with Reverend Sushil, just me and him, for 4 hours. Now, normally on a 4-hour car ride, you know, you talk. I don't know. I didn't know him that well. I had met him at conferences, been at meals with him, mostly very, very casual. Hi, how you doing? Nothing deep and wide. Serious. And last summer, I get in a car with Reverend Sushil. And we had a little chit chat, and then all of a sudden, he said, "Well, let's pray about that."
Wow, thank you.
I said, "Let's do it," and we jumped in. And we started praying. We didn't stop until we got to Lancaster, PA.
Wow.
4 hours later. And it was as if we walked into the throne room of God together. And I mean, just had amazing, amazing prayer time. And so I'm going to just challenge you. What is holding you back from having the prayer life that you've always admired in other people? You admired it in maybe the Sunday school teacher when you were a kid, or in that family member that, oh, ask grandma to pray because you know she's going to pray. Or what about right here and now? Ask somebody like Mother Valley to pray because you know she prays.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
What about if we all came up to that level and we get rid of the things that hold us back? Young and mature. Doesn't matter how old you are. You can carry a prayer burden. Some of the best times as a new Christian I ever experienced was as a teenager learning to pray. Do you know how you learn to pray? It's real simple. You pray. I grew up in a church that had prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And it consisted of a 30-second prayer with one of the deacons at the end of the evening. The rest of the night was just like a normal church service. Why did they call it prayer meeting? We never prayed. But I found out that when you pray with others, your prayer life grows. And it changes everything. First time anybody invited me to a spirit-filled prayer, I was new to the things of the Spirit. I was a boy that didn't know very much about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues. I mean, I grew up, I didn't know anything about that. I hadn't even really heard it ever. Not too much. And because the minister of the church that I started attending was a Pentecostal minister, he said, well, you have a call of God on your life. I said, yes, sir. He said, you're filled with the Spirit? I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, you need to come to our prayer meeting. So I walked into a staff prayer meeting in the middle of the day. I'm all of about 19, 20 years old. Never seen anything like this. It's dark. They have the shades kind of drawn. And there's quiet music playing. And all I saw was a foot on a table. And then I saw two or three other guys on the floor. I thought, dear God, what have I got into? But the presence of God was in that place. And I longed to be in that place. To learn to pray. To learn to pray with men of God that would get answers on their face before God. And as a youth pastor, eventually becoming a youth pastor, I began to tell my young people that they needed to learn how to suck carpet. I said, you need to learn how to suck carpet. And they were like, what? I'd be like, no, that just means getting you on your face before God and allowing God to do amazing things in your life. If we're going to come alive in 25 as a church, if we're going to be the church that God's called us to be in our community, in our place, that God, in our job, in our home, then God is calling us to a deeper place of prayer so that we hear His voice that much clearer. So that if He decides to wake you up in the night, you go, yeah. Speak, Lord, for your servant listens. Hey, that started with Samuel, didn't it?
Sure did.
And Samuel wasn't but a young boy. A young boy learning to hear the voice of God. Man, if our young people would hear the voice of God, a lot of the junk that they are exposed to wouldn't be an issue. Because when you feel the presence of God, when you experience Him face to face, when you know God, when you find freedom in Him, when you discover that you have a purpose and you start making a difference in your world, it upsets the apple cart, let me tell you. It upsets the apple cart because God wants people who know how to hear His voice, who in the middle of the night, He can say, call that person, text that person, write that note. Here recently, that's happened to me. And it's those moments that you say, God, I just want to be used. I want to be used by You to affect change in somebody else's life. But we can't do it if we're walking around with a bunch of stuff that we just need to release to Him. It's not a hard thing. You just let it go. Say, let it go.
Let it go.
See, but we hang on to it and we don't go to God, the one who can actually free us from it. Or take it from us. Here, just give it to me. I got this. That's what God's saying to somebody this morning. He's saying, I got this. I got this. Quit worrying about it. Quit stressing about that. I got it. I got you. And when God says, I got you, you know He's got you. He's not. You might go through something, but it's not going to destroy you. It's not going to cause you to literally just fizzle away to nothing. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. He's got you. You might still go through stuff. I just recently finished a book on Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He went through stuff. Gave his life for the gospel. But you know what? That guy knew God. He knew God. You say, well, what happened? His life and witness are affecting people even today. Many, many, many years later. Now, not everyone's called to go give their life to Christ. That is a special anointing. But I will tell you, God is calling every one of us to lay our life down. Because if we want to truly find our life, then we've got to lay it down. If we want to truly find our purpose, it's a surrender. And I don't hear a lot of ministers talking about lordship and surrender and getting rid of things because nobody wants to be guilty of preaching sin. I'm not preaching sin. I'm preaching righteousness. But if you want righteousness to work in your life the way God designed it so that you can stand before God without the sense of guilt or shame or inferiority as if sin didn't even exist, now you've got access to the King of the universe. And then you can walk into the throne of grace. And grace is God's power available to you to get the job done. Never forget the first time I laid hands on somebody and they got healed. I looked at my hands. I said, Lord, what? I even had a bad attitude that day. You ever had a bad attitude? Oh, say it ain't so. I had a bad attitude. I was miffed. I was on a missions trip doing God's work. I was ticked because I couldn't go with one group to another island. And there was nothing. It looked like nothing was going on. Nothing was going on. I'm thinking, nothing's going on here. And I'm stuck here till the next boat comes and picks us up. I am out of line, out of sorts, bad attitude. Say bad attitude. That was me. All of a sudden, the lady comes down off the mountain with her son. about 8 years old. And through an interpreter, she says, "My son is deaf. He can't hear. Would somebody here pray for him?" Our service had already been done for a half hour. We're sitting in the heat, and I'm waiting for a boat, and I'm thirsty, and I'm miserable, and I want a cold Pepsi. And I am the only minister and leader that's there. The interpreter looks at me and says, "Will you pray for you pray for the boy?"
Wow.
This is when you know it's not about you.
Yeah, that's right.
It's always about him. I'll never forget that day. I was so humbled. Because when I laid hands on this little boy, God supernaturally opened up his ears. And he heard for the first time in his life. And I got to tell you something. It had nothing to do with me. And I knew it. That night, I just said, "God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." When the goodness of God causes you to change your mind, when the goodness of God causes you to be the church, the goodness of God says, "Man, God, I want you to use me." The only way he can use you if you let go of the stuff. The things that are weighing you down. The things that are weighing you down. I'm not here today preaching on sin and beating you up. If you're carrying something today, just come unto him. He'll give you rest. Because when you carry that junk with you, it's miserable. Because you weren't created to carry that. You weren't created to carry the guilt, the shame. You weren't created for that. And we wonder why our bodies break down. It's because we weren't created to carry the stress and the things that just weigh us down. We weren't created for it.
Thank you, Lord.
But God says, "I was created for it.
Hallelujah.
My son will take it if you'll just let go." Let go of the unforgiveness. I know it's not easy to forgive. It's not easy to let go when somebody's hurt you. It's not easy to forget. It's not easy. That's why it takes faith to forgive. Not only when somebody has wronged you, not only when somebody's wronged you, but sometimes you got to forgive yourself. When you blew it, and you knew it. There is freedom when we act on God's word that way. Let's look at that verse again. I told you we might get to Gideon. We're not getting to Gideon. That's next week. Maybe, yeah. "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for what? Your soul." Your soulish realm is what bears the burden when you are carrying something you shouldn't carry. Your soulish realm, your mind, your will and emotions, your spirit is alive to God if you're born again. If you've received Christ in your life, then you, your spirit is not, it's not being affected by that burden. But I'll tell you what, your soul is. And you'll wear it on your face. You'll wear it in your voice, your attitude. But Jesus gives us an answer. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now, we don't use the word yoke in our vocabulary, but in the agricultural communities that this would have applied to, a yoke was how you tie two animals together with the, on their necks to get them to operate in tandem. God's asking you to operate in tandem with Him. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you so that I can work with you.
Hallelujah.
When we work with God, He gets all the glory.
Amen.
All you are is along for the ride.
That's right.
You're just along for the ride. You're like, okay. All right. Yeah. What are we doing today, Father? What adventure do you have for us? I want to read to you this passage out of the Message translation. And I want you just to close your eyes for a moment. Some of you, you know what burdens you're carrying. I know what ones I've been tempted to carry and have to keep giving it back to them. Keep letting it go. Some of you need to do that this morning. This morning, you need to do it. Let it go. But listen to what he says. He says, are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I didn't know where today was going to go. Full disclosure. But I really believe God wants to do some business this morning. And I'm just going to ask if we can do it this way.
Thank you.
We're just going to go ahead and turn off our camera at this time, if somebody could help me out with that. If you're watching at home, I encourage you, give it to God. Whatever burden, whatever thing that you are carrying, let it go. We'll catch you next time. For those of you that are here, I want to do it this way.